Our scripture lesson for this morning on the first Sunday of Advent comes from the prophet Isaiah, looking forward to the arrival of Christ, and it comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. So I ask you now to remain seated for the reading, but pay close attention and hear now the word of God. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joys. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of God for us, the people of God, thanks be to God.
So happy Advent. It is good to be in God's house on this first Sunday of Advent. And during these Sundays, we are going to spend some time talking about the different characters that come in the story of that first birth. And this morning, we talk about Isaiah. There was an Episcopalian minister in Boston, and he worked himself to near exhaustion. He was on the verge of a complete breakdown. He was stressed out. He was deeply depressed. He was almost in despair, total despair. And he took some time off, and he went away on a trip to spend some time in prayer and making sure that he was healthy. And he traveled to a place that he'd never been before. And he saw the lights of a small town, and he walked along its streets, and in its lights he found hope again. And he wrote a song that includes these words: O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And the rest is church history. We sing it every year, right? And it's by a man named Philip Brooks, and it told his story. On this first Sunday of Advent, I want us to think about the light that has come into our lives, the light that comes into our lives through Jesus Christ. The scripture lesson that Jeff just read for you, it comes from the prophet Isaiah, and it was written in a very dark and dangerous time in the life of the people of Israel. It was during the period of about 150 years that both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were threatened by their enemies, and both kingdoms fell, and the people suffered the worst kind of defeat and agony. And eventually, even Jerusalem was overrun, and the walls were torn down, and the beautiful temple was destroyed. But in the midst of those years of darkness, even before the worst had come, the people were offered a word of hope. A singer, a creature gave them words of hope. And the words he gave them were, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. And the rest is history. And his name was Isaiah. The people who heard these words from God, from the preacher who needed to hear them because there was darkness all around them. There were powerful enemies that were trying to destroy them. They'd been trying to destroy them for centuries, and they were on the verge of destruction. But in the darkness of despair, words of hope came to them. The people living during that time and up to the time of Jesus believed that good and evil were equated with light being good and darkness being evil. And they believed in the powers of darkness and the powers of light. Now, we may not think exactly that way in our world today, but we do still use phrases such as, it's dark time, or the dark night of the soul, or the dark side, my favorite, about wandering around in the dark. Some people say there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Remember that? And I'm going to beginning to see the light. So even though we really don't talk about it all the time that way, we still have that feeling, don't we? That darkness is equated with evil and light is equated with hope and good. We use these words and phrases because they describe what many of us experience. These common feelings have always been a part of human existence. Ever since the beginning of time, our world today has a good bit of darkness going on in it, doesn't it? And sometimes it's hard to see the good and to see the light. But the good news for today, and what Isaiah is trying to say to us, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of feeling overwhelmed by the darkness that comes our way, that there is light. There is light. And the season of Advent is helping us to prepare for the coming of that light. The lights of Bethlehem shine on us today, just like they did for Philip Brooks, just like they did for the shepherds who came to see a baby born. So think about this today, and think about it as remembering that the light of hope does shine on us, both individually and collectively. The light of hope shines its brightest in despair. Isaiah said, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And this was their hope for the present and for their hope for the future. Scott's was a member when we lived in LaGrange of an astronomy club over in Auburn, Alabama. And they would have star parties. And he would drag me along with him, and he would take all of his telescopes. He has about three or four, and all these people who were members of this club would bring out their telescopes, and we would go out to a deserted airfield that was completely dark. There was no light. There were no street lights. There were no airport lights on at that time. And we would have go and set up our telescopes and then have what we called a star party. And you had to have complete dark in order to see the beautiful stars. And one of the rules of the club was that when you got to that star party, you turned your cell phone completely off. Because even the light from a cell phone screen would mess up your eyes in such a way that you wouldn't be able to see as well in the dark. Light is important. Light helps us be able to see. And we wanted to see the light of the little tiny stars in the sky. There is a light that shines upon us today. And it is the light of hope. The light of hope in Christ. Isaiah calls it a great light. But it was not, it didn't start off as a great light. It started off in the face of a small baby. A Methodist preacher once said, "We can have hope in a world where Christmas comes out of a stable, the Son of God out of a smelly little village, and 20 centuries of Christianity out of a tomb." Christ is the light that shines in the darkness. He is the light of hope, the source of hope, the reason of hope. Now, some will miss it, and it's really sad how commercial our season of Christmas has become. Amen? The shopping centers are decorated in August, sometimes it looks like. And they've put out the Christmas stuff just as soon as they've gotten rid of the school supplies. And people are rushing around, working really hard, frantically trying to shop and purchase some happiness for somebody, hoping that they can bring a light into the darkness by things that they have and can hold. But the real light of hope doesn't come from those things, does it? It comes from love. It comes from Christ, a little baby. Man took his granddaughter to see the live manger scene at their church. And she stood there looking at everything, and she was in awe. There was the manger and the Holy Family and the wise men and the shepherds and everything that goes along with a live nativity. And she pointed to the star, and she said to her grandfather, I lost my place. She pointed to the star. He asked her what she thought of the light that shone in that stable. And she says, "It's bright inside that stable, isn't it? But Granddaddy, you can't see how the light shines in unless you get down and look up." Put yourself in a place where you can see the real light of hope, and it will shine on you, and it will enable you to find your way. The light of hope will shine on the road you travel. Not only had these people, were these people going to see a great light, but they could also be led by that light. Whatever is facing you, whatever darkness surrounds you, there is light that shines in the darkness. That light shines on you and guides you and leads you forward. Virginia Law tells about an experience as a missionary in the Congo. And she said that at their mission station, there was a man who served at night as a sentry, and they carried oil lanterns, these sentries did, and one night one of them brought her a message, and she noticed his lantern and said, "That lamp doesn't give very much light, does it?" And he says, "No, it doesn't, but it shines as far as I can step." You can find your way as far as you can step. To what, wherever you need to go, in the light of hope that comes from Christ. Not only can you find your way, you can share the light with others. Isaiah wrote how the joy of the nation had increased, how the people had rejoiced, how the yoke of their burden was broken. For this child shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You can share the light of hope and increase joy and break yokes of despair in other people by sharing your love in Christ with them. You can be a witness of this light by living the meaning of it, by being a person of hope, by reflecting the light of Christ, by sharing warmth, the warmth of Christ's love in your daily life. In this light, we all find hope. Centuries ago, there was a nobleman in Europe, and he built a church for his people. And it was very pretty. It was a beautiful place. He thought of everything. But when it opened, there was a great crowd of people who came in, and they were concerned because there seemed to be no lamps in the church. And they noticed that there were lamp holders going up and down all the sides of the building. And the nobleman pointed to those and said to the people when they asked, "Each time you are here, the place where you sit, you will bring a light." And he gave each one of them a lamp. And he said, "When you come to church, bring that light, and it will light the room." That is what our call is today. We are to be the light for the world. People are supposed to look at us and see the love of Christ and to see the hope that goes beyond the despair that we see around us. Sure, life is tough. Life is difficult. There are many things that go on in this world that we do not understand. But we as Christians can testify to the love of Christ by sharing our light. You know the little song? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." That's our call during this Advent season. Because there are a lot of people out there who are hurting. And they need the message that we share. So be filled this Advent season with the light of Bethlehem. Be willing to live in that light, to be warmed by that light, and to share it with all that you meet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we thank you for the witness of Isaiah this morning and for his wanting to share with us that even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of difficulty, that there is light, and it is the light of Christ. And as we prepare for its coming once again, may we be reminded that we are to share the light so that others can see the way. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.